ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday edition. Today's show is Tuesday, the 25th of April, 2006. I'm sorry, it is not Monday. We didn't do a show yesterday. Sorry about that, guys. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. We've got a great interview. We're talking about a subject that we've had to revisit several times because our Congress and Senate won't leave this one alone, and we're going to have to fight again to keep our rights to speak freely in this world with an effort. Again, it takes an effort every time. We have Ted Pike on talking about hate crimes legislation today, and if you don't know the gist of this whole argument, I'll give you a quick synopsis. We are going to be put in the same basket of countries that Canada and France and Germany under Geir Rudolph, if you know the story about that, and many others have been silenced. Now, this same kind of law is being implemented now. It has already been accepted through our Congress. I mean, through our the congressmen, but our senators have not approved it. And there's a battle going on right now in the Senate to try to keep this out of approval here. And it's been there a couple of times. It's been defeated a couple of times, and they just will never, ever, ever stop. They will not stop. They're going to destroy our liberties and our free speech rights if they have their way. And today's guest is Ted Pike. Ted, welcome to the French Connection for your fifth visit.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
Well, actually, it's not your fifth visit, Ted. It's more like your ninth visit, actually. But it is each time you come on this program, we discuss something that is absolutely critical for all of us to pay attention to. And this nothing more than this hate crimes legislation. In fact, that's what first brought us together over a year and a half ago now, was this legislation being proffered in the Senate, and it was already through Congress at the time. Now, the House of Representatives is what I mean. And the fact is, where are we standing right now, and why are we under another alarm state here with this whole issue?
Yes. Well, as our listeners are probably aware, we had a big fight in Congress last fall. To everyone's surprise, the House of Representatives passed the federal hate bill as an amendment to the Children's Safety Act that went into the Senate Judiciary Committee. And on nearly 100 talk shows nationally, I exhorted patriots to blitz not only the Senate but the Senate Judiciary Committee with protests. And it really worked. Senator Orrin Hatch, imperfect as he may be, played the man, and he was able to negotiate with Senator Kennedy and get Kennedy to delay the passage of the Senate version of the hate bill on the floor of the Senate. Kennedy made a deal with the members, the Republican minority of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he said basically, if you'll water down this anti-pedophile Children's Act, then I will forego my right to push through my hate bill, which is S-1145. Mm-hmm. And it really worked. Kennedy really performed a boner there. He gave away the store. And so the hate bill was delayed. Now, Kennedy was expecting to be able to rise to his feet on the floor of the Senate as soon as the Senate version of the Children's Safety Act came in, but Senate Majority Leader Frist would not let him do that. And during the fall session of the Senate, Frist blocked Kennedy. During the winter session, he blocked Kennedy. Frist would not allow the Senate version of the Children's Safety Act, which is called the Sex Offenders Registration Act. He would not let Kennedy rise to his feet and orate and demand a vote in the Senate to attach his hate bill to the Sex Offenders Registration Act. And so what we have now here is a stalemate. The Sex Offender Registration Act is an anti-pedophile Republican-originated bill which would put harsh penalties and restrictions on pedophiles. Frist wants that to go through. The Republicans and conservatives want it to go through. However, as soon as it hits the floor of the Senate, Kennedy or his lackeys, such as Gordon Smith of Oregon or Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, will leap to their feet and they say, we demand that we be able to reattach the hate bill back onto the new version of the Children's Safety Act. So there's a tremendous drama going there, and it's been in stalemate for two sessions of Congress. But meanwhile, pressure is building on Frist and the Republicans to get this child protecting legislation through. Now, on Larry King Live last Thursday, Kennedy kind of spilled the beans on his strategy. He says that he's waiting. He knows the pressure is on to get the Children's Sex Registration Act through. He knows that they can't wait forever, and he says just as soon as they do that, he's going to take his opportunity to call for a vote in Congress, in the Senate, to pass his hate bill and attach it on.
Now, is that hate bill in the Senate identical to the one in the House of Representatives, so it will not have to go to committee?
It's identical. What is different, however, is that the Children's Safety Act, which was passed in the House last September 14th, that Children's Safety Bill is much longer, and the Senate version of that bill, which Senator Hatch coordinated, is a more streamlined version. See, we have the Children's Safety Act in the House, which was passed along with the hate bill, and then we have the Sex Offenders Registration and Notification Act, which is S-1086, which Hatch and his minority of Republicans in Judiciary crafted. So because those two Children's Safety Acts, if you will, because those two are different, it has to go to conference. And what Kennedy has said on Larry King was he wants to, as soon as the Republicans bring in the Sex Offenders Registration Bill, he wants to clamp on the hate bill as a rider and then send it to conference. And some people might say, well, in conference there's a chance for Republicans to defeat it, but we really can't presume that because, incredibly, back in the House last September, there was no, and I repeat, no opposition by any Republicans to the passage of the federal hate bill. So this morning, I am terribly concerned that Americans, patriots, and lovers of freedom realize the extremely high stakes, the high drama.
Let's do that. And let's actually discuss now what hate crimes is. And I mean, I have talked on this program many times about my inability to discuss certain subjects. One of them, of course, is I don't take a stand on issues pertaining to the Holocaust at all. And the very reason I don't do that is because I live in a country that has passed the hate crimes legislation, and that if I were to do so, I would be jailed. So the fact of the matter is, and I'm not talking about deriding Jews in any way, but rather even discussing historical events could get me landed in a courtroom and ultimately behind bars. And that's the kind of bill that has already been passed in Australia. It's already passed in New Zealand, Canada, all through Europe. And now they're targeting America. And it is a bill to stop debate on what Zionists are doing around the world to enslave us all.
Yeah. Well, the history of hate crimes legislation begins with the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith.
That's right.
And of course, the ADL is the so-called civil liberties arm of B'nai B'rith. B'nai B'rith is a huge international Jewish religious educational fraternal organization. It has lodges and presences in about 55 nations of the world. It is the established voice of organized world Jewry. It has an agenda, basically, which is competitive with Christian conservative values. It wants to overlay its own values, its own political and religious values upon America. And that's why these organizations are so anti-Christian. They're always bashing Christianity, resisting Christian symbols and institutions, even the Ten Commandments, prayer in the schools, Christmas trees and festivities and so on.
Well, you're absolutely right, Ted. And here's the interesting thing. Since our last interview, I've learned more about Noahide laws that have already been instituted in some way in the United States through legislation. I'm also aware that you refer to these leaders in B'nai B'rith and in ADL and in AIPAC and the rest as evil Jewish leaders.
Yes.
And I want to make a little caveat here, because when I refer to world Zionism, I refer to the great speech made by Benjamin Friedman outlining these people's hopes for world domination some 46 years ago. And he used the word Zionism and Zionist, and so I've used that myself.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we've discussed on this very show how many people within the center Christian community have been sold a Scofield Bible belief system that in many ways helps this supremacy to start taking root. And they're not, in many cases, even aware of the situation that they found themselves in. Am I correct?
Well, that's right. And many evangelicals actually consider themselves to be Christian Zionists. And the Scofield Bible encourages the idea that Israel can come back to the Promised Land without justice and righteousness and mercy and obedience to God. And the evangelicals have bought into that, basically that heretical, ungodly, and spiritually lawless idea. But what has happened is that the ADL has, the Christians, they love Jewish leaders, evil or not. They love Ariel Sharon, they love Menachem Begin and Shamir and so on. But here's the irony. These evil Jewish leaders of B'nai B'rith and the Zionist International Conspiracy do not love the evangelicals in return.
No, they don't.
What we are seeing is, in fact, they are hatching legislation and social and legislative schemes designed to put a noose around the evangelicals, to entrap them, calling them anti-Semitic, calling them haters, calling them homophobes, and so on.
That's right.
And so, and in an act of colossal ingratitude, these evil Jewish leaders are actually turning and not only biting but devouring the whole arm of those evangelicals who have petted them and coddled them and given them billions and billions of dollars over the last century. And the most outstanding example of this, in my opinion, is the creation of these so-called anti-hate laws.
Yeah.
If you go back to the late 80s, we find the Anti-Defamation League holding a national model anti-hate law competition open to law students in the United States. And the winner of that competition was Joseph Ribicoff, who basically
mm-hmm.
said in his prize-winning proposal that Christians who show videotapes critical of homosexuality should be indicted as hate criminals. The ADL thought that was a wonderful idea, gave him first prize, and then they went on to craft a model anti-hate law, which was then marketed and sold to all of 45 of the 50 states of the Union. And so we have anti-hate laws now in place, such as the one in Pennsylvania, which was utilized by the ADL in 2004 to descend on 11.
I remember, yep.
Who are doing nothing more than singing a hymn and holding up Bible verses in a huge gay parade in pride festivity in Philadelphia. Well, the real plum, the real goal of the ADL, however, is not to establish local and state hate laws. What they want to do is control the whole country simultaneously with a huge federal Orwellian hate law, and that's exactly what we're talking about here today. That is exactly what the Congress of the United States, the House, approved last fall, and now is so precariously in limbo right between Frist and Kennedy in the Senate right now. And
mm-hmm.
that's why I'm reminding people, you know, there are so many gloomy things happening in the world, with so many conspiracy theories and so on, but the fact remains that we did massive public opposition and criticism of the federal hate bill last fall did do the trick. It energized the minority of 8 Republicans in the Senate Judiciary Committee to wake up and play the man and to demand concessions from Kennedy. It caused Kennedy to waffle and compromise. It really did. The massive thrust and assault of perhaps many, many thousands of calls to the Senate Judiciary Committee caused them, these senators, rather than just letting it go through as usual, caused them to put up a fight, and we did, corporately, in the country, collectively, we all did save freedom of speech for another year. And
yeah.
That's why I really, you know, I believe that it's virtually useless. It is virtually useless to educate people concerning the dangers of the hate of hate crimes laws if they do not communicate their anger to members of Congress.
That's right.
You see, we've got to get through. And
well, let's start out with this middle break here, middle time, with you giving the details. If everyone in this listening audience now gets their hands on a pencil or a pen, and grab a pen or pencil right now, because Ted's going to give you the Congress's line, and basically, from what I know from calling myself, you can actually ask the operator at each individual senator's office to transfer you to another senator.
Don't
just hang up and make a second call. You can have them transfer you. So get the number right now, and then we'll talk further, Ted, and we'll give the number again at the end.
You bet. All right. The toll-free number to Congress, to the 100 members of the Senate, is 1-888-355-3588. Again, that toll-free number, we'll repeat it a little later in the program, is 1-888-355-3588. Now, there are 100 members of the Senate, and they are posted now at my website, which is www.truthtellers.org. That's truthtellers, plural, O-R-G. Now, what you do is you make your first call, get that list off of Truth Tellers, and you start with the first senator on that list. You call this number, this toll-free number to Congress, and when the operator answers, you say, "May I have Senator so-and-so?" They'll send you to his office, and you give them this very simple message. And here's the message you give them. Please don't vote for attachment of Senator Kennedy's hate bill, S-1145, to the Sex Offenders Registration Act. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Please don't vote for attachment of Senator Kennedy's hate bill, S-1145, to the Sex Offenders Registration Act. Now, as soon as you've delivered that simple message, don't hang up. Say, please, can you send me to the next senator on the list, which you'll get at Truth Tellers? And either the secretary or the receptionist there or the operator will send you to the next one. And so you can play leapfrog with one phone call that's free. You can, in about an hour and a half, you can saturate the entire U.S. Senate, both Democrats and Republicans, with this simple message. Please don't vote for the attachment of Senator Kennedy's hate bill, S-1145, to the Sex Offenders Registration Act. You might even throw in there, please don't vote for any kind of hate legislation in this term of Congress.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Ted. They have been battled back. They were actually reeling in many instances from being exposed as usurpers and destroyers of liberty. And the fact is, they don't go away. I mean, these people won't stop until they've got what they want. And the hubris here is astonishing. The fact that they would use every opportunity to slip this in on the public. When are we ever going to get relief from these horrible, horrible leaders we have in charge of our nation?
Well, what we have to do right now is to hold the barricades, you see. Once a federal hate law is voted into law, then our whole justice system in the United States will change. We will have a dual justice system. We'll have the old-fashioned Anglo-Saxon traditional justice system, which says that police have to find probable cause. They have to find demonstrable physical evidence in order to make an arrest and then on to an indictment and conviction and so on. That's our traditional system. That results in a justice system that is direct and coherent and even speedy. But once this bill is established into law, it will establish a dual justice system, and that is a justice system based on bias, motivation. This is what exists now in Canada. You have the old-fashioned English law on one hand in Canada, but you now have this hate crimes tribunal system that runs parallel to the old-fashioned legal system. And in Canada, you see, the only criteria of whether a hate crime has or has not been committed is whether some group feels, some protected group such as homosexuals, Jews, etc., feels that their feelings, their emotion, or their self-respect has been damaged, traumatized by critical words spoken by another in public. And if a homosexual can complain now that a Bible verse printed in the local newspaper or a comment on a radio talk show or something bruised his emotion or diminished his opinion of himself, then the hate crimes hearings officer will say, oh, yeah, that sounds like a hate crime to me, and he will vindicate that. Now, in Canada, the penalties for being found guilty of a hate crime that is intimidating somebody else verbally are very severe. You can spend 5 years in prison, $10,000 fine, be dragged through the court system. You can be exhausted physically and emotionally as well as financially. The average cost up there for defending yourself of a hate crime charge runs between $175,000 and $200,000. And just this last year, a Christian printer in Canada refused to print the stationery and promotional materials of the local gay pride organization. They reported him to the hate crimes tribunal. He spent $175,000 defending his freedom, you see, just for refusing to print homosexual posters. So that's what's going on in Canada right now. I could give you many more instances.
Well, you know, Ted, let's talk a little bit about this supremacy of our thought system that has been going on by evil Jewish leaders for a long time here, because I think it's important to understand why they're protecting themselves and what their goals are. I'll give an example on a television show, and you can give another one because there was one that you defeated recently. But this show, Will and Grace, it is entirely produced, directed, and acted in by Jewish participants entirely.
Uh-huh.
And it promotes gay and homosexual everything.
Uh-huh.
It holds up as the norm for everyone to think that homosexuality is the preferred method of relationship.
Yes.
And this is offensive to me. They have it here on French television as well, and it's stomach-turning.
Yes.
And here's the interesting thing. Not 4 months ago, the Disney people tried to put something together with something that was offensive in the extreme to Christians, but all of the people putting this together were also from the Jewish community.
Yes.
Could you go into that, what they tried to do with that?
Well, Will and Grace is part of the programming of Jeff Zucker on NBC Universal.
Yeah.
Now, back around 1987, NBC, which was always the dynasty of the Sarnoff family, was sold to General Electric.
Yeah.
And General Electric Corporation now has a lot of Gentiles in the top the management of NBC. However, probably the most influential and powerful person at NBC is Jeff Zucker, who is head of all NBC programming everywhere.
Yeah.
He is the creative genius behind...
evil genius.
Yeah, he is behind Will and Grace. He is behind the Book of Daniel. He's behind a lot of this evil programming that's coming out of NBC. Now, what we have to do is, what I have been telling audiences repeatedly, is that we have to stand up, especially Christians now, have to stand up and say, these are Jewish evil Jewish leaders. These are Jewish activists who are working to trash Christian values. They are aligning themselves with homosexuality and pornography and all forms of anti-Christian activism. We have to alert people of who our enemy is.
That's
you know,
right.
It's like a rabbit and a fox. If a rabbit doesn't have the sense to recognize its enemy, that rabbit is going to end up in the stomach of the fox, isn't it? If we do not recognize that our enemy are these evil Jewish leaders and evil Jewish activists, we cannot help but be destroyed by them. That's a principle of nature, that if an organism does not recognize and identify and avoid its enemy, it will be consumed by that enemy. Now, by the enemy, I'm not talking about the Jewish people. I'm not talking about the shopkeeper Jew, the average suburban Jew, the somewhat assimilated American Jew, and so on. Many, many of those people are as critical as I am of these evil Jewish leaders. And there are even Orthodox leaders, like Rabbi Lapin of Torah tradition and Rabbi Weiss of Neturei Karta, who agree with me 100% that ADL, B'nai B'rith, and so on should cease to exist. They are they're an albatross to the Jewish community worldwide. They stimulate anti-Semitism against the Jewish people collectively and so on. But we've got to identify, Christians and Christian leaders and conservative leaders have got to stop now this evasion of saying, well, these are media moguls, this is secular humanist leadership, or these are liberals. They're using these evasive terminology now when the time has come. We have got to identify the eye of this octopus which is entangling us in its coils. And we've got to know what the big issues are, where the eye is, and what are the tentacles, what are the secondary issues, what are the distraction issues, what are the misinformation issues, and so on. And I'm battling constantly the proliferation of more and more and more conspiracy theories right and left all over the place, because all of those are tentacles. They are the tantalizing tentacles which people chase after with their little hatchets and think they're saving the world or trying to save the world, but the truth is they are probably ignoring the central eye of where this is coming out of.
Exactly. And you know something, Ted? You just hit on something that Eric and I have been screaming. If you go to a lot of these radio shows in the country, a lot of this, the alternative press in the country, you end up going from door one to door four to door seven to door three, but you never, ever, ever are pointed in the direction of who's pulling these doors open and closed. Who's doing it? You've got to understand, there is an overriding conspiracy here to denigrate, degrade, and destroy the fabric of American society in order to take it over. And they are succeeding by and large because their strategy is to confuse and conflagrate and destroy everybody's ability to find out who's doing this. We know who it is. You and I, Eric knows, many people know. There are tens of thousands of people who have awoken to these realities. However, what we need to start doing now is formulating a strategy that is going to have punch.
Yes.
And by doing this Senate telephoning, this is part of the proof that we have been able to get some traction here, that we've been able to make a difference, because this is actually boots on the ground type of thing, Ted.
Yeah, I am very well aware, fighting the hate crimes legislation all the way back to the late 1980s. I'm aware of how effortlessly these hate crimes bills go through judiciaries, into the floor of the legislatures, of the Congress, and so on. And let me tell you, this was no accident last fall. If we had not had a massive uprising of people making these calls to all the members of the Senate Judiciary, all the members of the Senate, that bill would have gone through, and it would be the law of the land right now. So don't believe this gloomy idea that is so prevalent, especially on right-wing talk radio, that there's no way now that we can impact Congress. We'll just kind of have to hunker down and barricade ourselves, and with a survivalist mentality, we'll have to wait till a bitter end. That's exactly what our enemies want to do. You know, it's really interesting that there are lots of people out, maybe even in this listening audience, who are red-hot activists. Oh, yeah, they're really keen to know the latest conspiracy theories and latest threats against Christianity and all that, but they don't do anything.
That's right.
There's almost an apathy within their activism, you see. There's a core of disillusionment and activism, and this is not helped by the lack of sensitivity on the part of Congress, who doesn't seem to respond to their pleas. And then, of course, this is all made worse because there's a profusion of more and more conspiracy theories, which I actually believe are being promoted, as in the Charlie Sheen situation, to more and more confuse and disorient these people.
You're exactly right. And we did see quite clearly that they needed somebody to build up and then wait a couple of weeks and then knock him down for a myriad of reasons.
Right.
One of them was to show the people who are on the fence that the people fighting this fight, this battle in the middle, are crazy.
Yeah.
Look at the kind of people they're associating with, this Charlie Sheen, this guy that dates porn stars and shoots his girlfriends and stuff.
Yeah.
But see, at the same time, Ted, that it also handed the people working looking into the facts a false sense of hope that this guy was going to help them.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
So he was a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah.
He gave a little hope to the fighters, and he gave a little destruction to the people on the fence. And this guy was a perfect plant from the start, and we saw it. And you know, when you see stuff like this, And you know that it's just going to make things more convoluted and more difficult to explain to people, it frightens me in the extreme that the public will fall for this. But they do, Ted. And that's one of the reasons why I like to streamline our information. I like to get it down and boil it down for people, make it simple, and say, look, this is a simple conspiracy. Stop looking in the middle for your answers. That's when you're going to find the New World Order and the Illuminati and this. All of those things may have some truth to them. When you get to the point where you understand evil Jewish leadership or world Zionism, is what I call it, is involved in taking over the world's free peoples, then you have the right evil to fight. And then you know who the guys are. And we've actually gone on and named names. We've had Abramoff on our list, and we've had people like Foxman on the list, and we've had people like Morris Dees from Southern Poverty Law Center, and we've had people like who's the guy from he used to do Norman Lear.
Norman Lear, yeah.
Another big Zionist criminal evil Jewish leader. People for the American Way is what I was trying to think of. So when we start thinking about who the real people are actually doing this, we know that Sumner Redstone is running things, and we know that we have people like Samuel Newhouse over in the publishing area, and we have Mort Zuckerman. There are actual people doing this to us, and we can stop worrying about the boogeyman. It's not the New World Order. It's these people. We can name them. We know who they are. They have addresses. They have telephone numbers. They have bank accounts, just like everyone else. And until we can reduce down this fear mongering to an actual factual human, I think people are going to stay in the middle, saying, "Oh my goodness, they're coming after me. The New World Order is going to get me." And that's kind of what that does, is paralyzes people. It doesn't empower them, Ted.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the fact of the matter is that our greatest enemy right now is legislative. And legislation and Congress and so on are kind of off-putting to most people. They would rather sit around and be entertained, believe it or not, with how bad the world is getting and the latest conspiracy scenarios and so on. But my emphasis and my leading has always been to get down, cut to the chase, and get those communications going into the floor of the House and the Senate where they are really needed. You see, that's not so popular. That's not as that doesn't lift your ratings on talk radio as much. But it gets action, you see, because the truth of the matter is, if it doesn't matter a bit how much you know, if you do not communicate your knowledge and your anger to the members of Congress who are making the laws of the land, which will be imposed on your children and grandchildren, it's virtually useless knowing all this information. So
that's
you've
right.
got to communicate. So I'll just give that toll-free number once more to your members of Congress. You see, what we've got to do is we've got to break up. We've got to blitz this coalition of senators, both Republican and Democrat, within the Senate now, who are standing beside Kennedy. Now, it may have diminished somewhat because there's been an awful lot of flack going into the Senate, but we've got to work on those senators. So the toll-free number to the Senate is 1-888-355-3588. Again, that's 1-888-355-3588. Once you get the capital operators, go to the first senators on the list, and again, that list is available. The list of 100 senators is available at www.truthtellers.org. You start with the first name and read this simple statement. Please don't vote for attachment of Senator Kennedy's hate bill, S-1145, to the sex offenders registration bill. And also, please oppose all hate crimes legislation. Please don't vote for the attachment of Senator Kennedy's hate bill, S-1145, to the sex offenders registration bill. Please oppose all hate crimes legislation. And then don't hang up, but go on to the next person on the list. Go through all 100 names. And, you know, if you don't have the time, it'll take you about an hour and a half to do that. But if you don't have time, break it up. You know, during your lunch break at work, take your cell phone and call 10 or 15. It'll only take, it's about a minute apiece. Call 10 or 15, last part of your lunch break, and do it throughout the week. But get those calls going through. Be firm. Don't be wild, but let your resolution and even your mild anger be portrayed to the members of the Senate that if they go ahead and ignore you and enact this kind of legislation, you are going to vote them out next term of Congress.
That's exactly right. And the facts are, you know, you can also throw a caveat in and say, and we know that your voting machines are going to get back to paper, so keep that in mind. You know, here's the thing. I want to bring up one other thing with you before we end this interview. You did have an opportunity to speak to somebody that I've found great. I've got a lot of trust in him. He's a wonderful man. His name's Moskahim Blair. He's the flyingimam.com, and you had a chance to speak to him. What were your impressions of Imam Blair?
Well, I didn't speak to him too long. I called him at 4 o'clock here in the morning from the Pacific Northwest, and he sounds, he reminds me of Muhammad Rafiq.
Yeah.
Very cordial, very, very coherent. I did get a little bit of a review of his website, but I am very interested in making contact with the Muslim world.
Yeah.
And for no other reason, really, we all have to stand together, of course, against this Zionist behemoth that's coming against us, but
yep.
I would like to let these Muslims know that there's at least one Christian leader in the world who has not gone the route of Jerry Falwell and Pastor Hagee in giving unconditional support of Zionist abuses in the Middle East. I'd
yep.
like them to know that there's one Christian who interprets the Bible very differently than these Israel First Christians.
Well, you know, I believe in many senses that I have been able to feel here by working so much in this subject, that more and more people are beginning to feel that Zionism and evil Jewish leadership are responsible for these problems, and the political correctness of not being able to say that is beginning to diminish, Ted. I feel the resistance to these facts being chipped away at, evaporating right before our eyes. And I'm wondering, from your side of the Atlantic, are you seeing the same kind of event?
Well, I believe that talk radio especially leaps over boundaries of propaganda and brainwashing, which we have been restricted by for so many years and even decades. And the truth of what I'm saying as an evangelical Christian is getting through, I believe, to leaders of the evangelical right. They are in a ditch. They are in a groove which they have established themselves in for the past century at least of unconditional blind support of Israel. But I do believe that there are indications that, especially with the attack on freedom of religion at the Air Force Academy, forbidding the chaplains to use the name of Jesus Christ in public prayers. Also, these onslaughts like the Book of Daniel, and then most recently the Gospel of Judas, coming out by the National Geographic, and there seems to be a preponderance of Jews in that program. This is all filtering through even into the evangelical consciousness to a certain degree, and I'm very, very eager to get this truth out to my theological brethren, and we can hopefully we can straighten them up and open their eyes to the truth of who their real enemy is. I mentioned in a recent email alert that if we don't even have the sense of a rabbit, to recognize our true enemy, we will certainly be devoured by him. And I'm seeing a few cracks in the wall now in the evangelical community. If we can get the evangelicals awakened, even moderately awakened, to who their real enemy is, that's a tremendous, tremendous block of people.
Well, there's a 26 million audience waiting there to have the truth shown to them. And, I mean, I'm not trying to show them the facts with rhetoric. I'm trying to do it with research.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, people like Mohammed Rafig and Imam Blair and David Pidcock and Barry Turner and Neil Turner and you and, oh gosh, Professor McGovern, you know, even people like the CIA chief, Ray McGovern.
Yes.
He even says Israel is the reason why we're over in the Middle East and we're trying to protect their interests in the Middle East. People are beginning to understand exactly what we face here. And go ahead.
Yes. The truth of the matter is that if we look back on the last century, it's been basically a religious, a doctrinal and a theological argument which has allowed Zionists to go into Palestine claiming that the land belongs to them because they are the ostensible seed of Abraham. We have great religious errors in the 20th century, and my specialty has been in the religious area, and because it's a religious problem and a religious problem that has created international Arab terrorism in the world today, I believe that religious argumentation against that is extremely important. And I do a lot of that at www.truthtellers.org. I've got dozens of articles there, dynamic videos, dynamic book, that all of our listeners should look into.
Well, Ted, you know, I want to thank you for coming on and fighting this with me once again. You know, we do this because we care. I want my constitutional republic returned unscathed after this battle is done. And you know, the fact is, we're not anywhere near releasing our public from the chains of this bondage. And it's a lot more to come here, and there's a lot more fighting to be done. And so I urge everybody to take Ted's recommendations at calling senators and stopping this hate crime stuff. Because, ladies and gentlemen, once that's in, voices like mine will be silenced, and voices that you have been depending on will be no longer available to you.
Yes.
And that is what this bill means. So don't take it lightly. This is as important as anything. This is the free speech rights that we were guaranteed in our constitutional republic being taken from us.
Yeah.
Don't let it happen. Call a senator. Get the list. Go to truthtellers.org and read up on this. Become aware of these facts and participate. Do something. This is about action, ladies and gentlemen. This is not about fear-mongering and keeping you paralyzed with what's going to be coming next. This is about fighting the good fight. And Ted Pike, you are one of the good guys in this battle. I want to thank you very much for coming on the French Connection today. As always, it's been very informative, and you will be back soon. I promise you that. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
Now, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, that's Ted Pike, and my name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and you have been listening to the French Connections Tuesday edition, and we'll be back later on in the week with two more interviews, very, very important. Tex Mars will be on Thursday, and Dr. Lorraine Day on Friday, and be tuned in for these two interviews. They are going to be blockbusters. Don't forget to tune in, and don't forget to fight. Until next time, bye-bye now.